Well, today we're going to be veering away the last couple of weeks with the shifting of people coming. We didn't do Ephesians the last 2 weeks. But today we're not going to continue with Ephesians. We'll continue next week with it. God has really laid on my heart to speak about hope in light of what's going on in the world. In case you've been following the news, there just seems to be this wave of suicide. And, it really breaks my heart to find that people have no hope, that in light of Christ, it pains me that people decide that they want to take their own lives instead of turning to God, who is willing to love them and help them through their problems. So this morning we're going to look at how Christ is our hope. And before we get too far, let's pray. Father Almighty, we thank you so much for your incredible love. We thank you so much for just how faithful it is, Lord, and how just incredible it is and how deep it is. Lord, we thank you so much for the incredible things that you ordain on our behalf, how you set your angels and you command them to care for us, Lord. Lord, in addition to that, you've given us your Son, you've given us your Spirit, and you've given us the church. You've given us your word and your promises. And so we have so much to hope in. And we thank you for that because of your great love. And so this morning, Lord, we pray that we can open our hearts to your word and receive what your Spirit has to offer. And that we may be encouraged by your great love. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm. So this morning's scripture comes from the ESV, and it reads, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." So I chose this scripture because we do, in Christ, have a living hope. And it's important that we understand that this morning because of the darkness in the world today. Whether we realize it or not, there are constantly at war, there are forces against us spiritually trying to get us to do things that we may not normally do. And if you're not grounded, you can easily listen to the voices of the world and think that you have no worth, think that you have no hope, think that nobody loves you. These are lies that the world wants you to believe. And so when you get to a point in life where you're dark and things seem hopeless, things aren't going right, it's really easy for the world to back a person into the corner if they do not have that foundation in Jesus Christ. Because I'm here to tell you this morning that Jesus does love you and that Jesus is your hope and that every day, yes, life is hard. But it's much harder if you're not a Christian and you're not rooted in Christ. Because Christ is doing things, whether we realize it or not, moment by moment, to let his love shine in our lives so that we can overcome the world and its darkness. There are famous celebrities, people that have lots of money, and they're killing themselves. Why is that? Because joy and hope doesn't come from the world's riches. It doesn't come from wealth, and it doesn't come from materialism. These things, yes, they make our lives easier. But when things get really difficult, you can't run to your Lexus. You can't run to your mansion. You need somebody that's living, that has power. And that person is Jesus Christ. We know that from the scripture. We have a living hope in Jesus, and it's protected by God's power. It's uncontended. As long as we remain in Christ, nothing can touch us unless God says so. People are going through the world and they don't realize that they're loved. And I want us to understand this morning that the love of God gives us hope. Every morning, God's love shines through. Let's look at a small book right after Jeremiah called Lamentations. And in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 and 23, it says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." We can count every morning to be loved on by God. Every morning the world is going to batter us with problems, with situations. And unless we turn to God for these, for the answers and solutions, we can be a man who's out at sea, cast away, completely hopeless. We have no hope. But that's not us. As Christians, we have Jesus Christ. And in all situations, we can go to him. We can pray to him. We can ask him for solutions. We can ask him to intervene. We can ask him for the help that we need. When people get to that dark place, they feel that there is no hope, that there is no answer for anything that they're going through. Can you imagine being in a place where you have no one to turn to? Where tomorrow is not worth living? As Christians, we should never ever have that mindset. Because we know that God loves us. We know that he's doing wonderful things and we can see his love in action. All we have to do is look around this room. We see people that love us. We see that God has put people in our lives to care for us and to help us to that next point so that we never feel defeated. So as we come together as the Lighthouse Church, I want us to know that you always have hope, first in Jesus Christ, but second in each other. That we can come to each other and that we can pull each other out of these dark places when things start to get difficult and challenging in life. What does the devil want to do? The devil wants to throw a bunch of problems at you so that you feel nailed to the wall and that you feel like you have nowhere to go. There's no solutions. And so you feel hopeless. But if you are a Christian, you know that Jesus, the creator of the universe, has the solutions for everything. Scripture tells us that. Not only did Jesus come to show that he was God, but he came to be vulnerable as a man to show us how to live under God, how to pray to him, and how to ask God for help, and how to have God intervene in life when things seem very dark and bleak. Think of Mary and Martha when their brother Lazarus was in the tomb for 4 days. And Mary comes to Jesus and says, "If you had been here 4 days ago, my brother would be alive." She felt that there was no hope. And Jesus says, "You know I am the life and resurrection." And she says, "Yes, I know you're the Messiah." And then he does a miracle. He brings Lazarus back to life to show that he is life and that nothing can overcome him. And that when we trust in Jesus, nothing can overcome us. And so this morning, I want us to know first and foremost that God's love gives us hope. So we have two things going for us. Number one, we're loved by God in an incredible way. And number two, that love provides us hope so that we can keep going moment by moment, day by day. And that we can overcome the world. It's very important that we understand that we have this power pulling for us so that we never feel that we have to run to that corner and hide from the world. As Christians, we fight against these dark feelings. We fight against them, not only in our own lives, but in other people's lives, so that other people know that there is truly a hope in Jesus Christ. Peter says, no, it's Paul actually, he says, "Be prepared to give a reason for the hope that you have." Well, as a Christian, we hope in Jesus. Why? Because he is the eternal life. He is the creator of the universe. And we believe as Christians in his promise that when we put our faith in him and we trust in him for life, that death will never, ever touch us. That's important because people are choosing death instead of life. There is no hope in death. There is no hope in what death brings. Darkness and decay, negativity. These are cancers that affect our soul. And what we need to do as Christians is protect ourselves against these negative things in the world by arming ourselves with Jesus Christ. We have to stay positive. And if you at all feel like you're becoming negative and dark, and you feel like the world is overcoming you, or overtaking you rather, reach out. Pray. Reach out to God. Reach out to your brothers and sisters. Because we do have a hope. And don't ever let Satan lie to you in saying that that hope is not real. Because you're going through a problem, Jesus doesn't exist. We do have problems. But as Christians, we take care of those problems by the power of God. We trust in God, we seek him for answers, and we watch his power work through our lives so that we never fall to those dark places. Number two, we do know that forgiveness comes through the cross. We teach that regularly. But hope comes through the resurrection. Hope itself comes through the resurrection. The scripture tells us that. It says you are born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. On Friday, Jesus paid the price for sin. He took care of our sin issue. On Sunday, he took care of the eternity life issue. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. When you trust in me, you will experience the resurrection in full power. Not only here today as we come together as Christians, our life is resurrected from the pit that it was in, but death itself will never, ever touch us. Scripture tells us that. In 1 Corinthians 15:55, Paul is writing to the Corinthians to encourage them, to remind them that in Jesus Christ, death will never touch you. It says, when the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have victory over death. As Christians, death cannot harm us. That in itself should build up this huge wall of hope. It's an impenetrable fortress. Nothing can take down the power of God. And as long as we rest in that, we have a hope that will never, ever go away. As Christians, we should never get to the point where we feel like we have no hope. We should always feel like tomorrow is worth living for. The scripture tells us that we have fresh mercies, fresh and tender mercies from God's compassionate love every day. You had a bad day? Tomorrow's a new one. And we get back at it. We don't let the world beat us up and take us down. Why? Because Christ lives in us. And therefore the power of Christ resides in us. Nothing can withstand the power of God as long as you walk in that power. That's important for us to apply to our lives. You have to walk in that power. Now, as I mentioned, we are overcomers. We're going to go to 1 John, which is towards the end of the Bible. And John puts in here three places, and what he's doing is he's writing to the churches to lift them up, to encourage them, because they're being attacked not only with false teaching, but they're being attacked with the world. The world is coming at them and they're saying, look, Jesus didn't really exist. You have no hope. And John's like, wait a minute. I lived with Jesus. I saw him do these things. Don't let people tell you otherwise. Because the first person who's going to come and whisper into your ear and tell you you're no good and that you're unfit to be a child of God is Satan. Satan will whisper in your ear and tell you, see, look at the thoughts that you're having. See how you messed up today. See how you did this. And Satan's going to come after you, and he's going to try and squeeze you and make you feel small. Remember in the book of James that Satan fears you. If you start to hear negative voices or you start to beat yourself up, that's not from God. Okay, God doesn't work like that. God works to restore and redeem people. He exposes our problems so that we can move forward and grow. Satan exposes our problems so that he can beat us up and tear us down. Remember, Jesus calls Satan the thief. He's here to take and destroy. But that's not what Jesus came for. Jesus came so that we could have his life and have it to the full, that we could walk in his joy and in his peace. And it's important that we understand that we are overcomers. Let's look at 1 John 2:13-14. It says, I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. And I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. Do you see the scripture is telling us we have overcome Satan? Yeah, he's going to be a nemesis, but we've defeated him. You know, it's like, I hate to use a sports analogy, but just think of that team that it already knows that they're going to the World Series or the Super Bowl. But yet you have that last place team who wants to come in and just kind of, oh, we're going to sweep you in the last season and just kind of ruin your parade a little bit. That's what Satan wants to do. He wants to come in and kind of ruin and get us all flustered, get us off track a little bit. So we're not as successful or effective in doing God's work. As Christians, we need to stay set and focused on Christ. In 1 John 4:4, it says, little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he is in you. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And here he's talking about false prophets and false spirits. People that come up to you and try and derail you and say, hey, you don't really have to obey God if you want to go to heaven. Or, hey, you don't have to really listen to the word. Or, hey, you can do whatever you want because doesn't just God forgive you anyways? You see how they kind of come in and they trick you. And John's writing, look, you've overcome not only the evil one, but you've overcome them and these little games that people like to play with God's word. You're smarter than that. You know how to overcome and rise against these little mind games that come. And you're not even going to entertain it. The last thing John says in 1:5-4 is, for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? God has opened this door. He's given us this gift of faith. And through this gift of faith, we have a living hope in Jesus Christ, which defeats darkness. It defeats the evil one. It defeats the naysayers who come and attack our religion. And it defeats the world and its value system. All these things so that we never have to trust in money or in man or in an institution or a program, but rather we trust in God. And that gives us a living hope, a hope that stands day to day. The last thing I really want us to focus on before we look at Christ is that Christ, as I mentioned, came as a man, lived vulnerable. And Hebrews tells us that he did this so that he could relate to our suffering and our challenges in life. And in addition, because he was a perfect man, because he did not sin, he showed us how to live in God's power to overcome. That when we follow his example, we overcome. Just as Christ exemplified overcoming in this world. So we know that life is hard. And in Hebrews it says, Hebrews 2:14 through 18. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. He knows what we're going through. He knows our pains, our sufferings, and he knows the temptations that we have to give in and seek the easy way out. And what's the easy way out? Well, it's really hard to trust in God not knowing what he's going to do. There's an example in Scripture where one of the kings is fallen ill. And instead of coming to God and praying, he goes to a witch doctor, so to speak. And he tries, you know, voodoo stuff. And he tries to use what the doctors and scientists of the day would say, this is what you need that would make you well. Well, God was upset by this because the king did not come to God first. And it's not that God wouldn't want us to go to a doctor. That's not what I'm saying here. But what happened to the king is he put his hope and faith in the witch doctor instead of God. And so when we go to God, we say, God, look, I'm going through these particular ailments. I'm going to the doctor. I pray that you will work through the doctor. I pray that you will work in this situation. I'm seeking you and your help, and I'm using the things that you've allowed at your disposal. And that's doctors, hospitals. He has created these institutions so that we can go to them and get better. But they themselves are not the hope. Why do doctors practice medicine? Because it's not a perfected science. They're constantly learning new things about the human body and how it works. But if we go to God, God can completely take care of our ailments. God can completely take care of the things that plague us because he is completely in control over creation. So when we have an issue, it's always important to seek God as you go through the things that you know to be a good discernment. So Christ, we know that Christ knows that life is hard. And then 2 weeks ago, we talked about Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. As Christians, we don't lean on our own understanding of how the world works. We trust in God and his system because he is in control of the world. He is in charge. As he's in charge, we trust in him. And then we follow him. And whatever he does, we respond to it. But we have a tendency as people to rely on our own understanding. We think that we've done a particular thing once or twice, and we kind of have an idea of how it works. And so, you know, we're okay. Cesar and Louis and I went to the baseball game a couple weeks ago, right? Or actually last week. Pretend that you went to Boondocks, and you jumped in the batting cage, and you went to the fast pitch, and it was like 80 miles, and then there's the 90 miles, and you get in there. And you're like, yeah, I can hit against Nolan Ryan or Sandy Koufax. They throw 20 pitches at you, and maybe you connect one, right? And you're like, yeah, I got one. And then you go to the baseball game, and then you think you can face live pitching. And that guy is standing away from you at 60 feet, 6 inches. And here comes the ball at 90 miles an hour. And your leg starts to do this number. And you get scared. They say one of the hardest things to do in life is to hit a baseball. Because it's this small. And it's coming fast. Well, our Christianity is much like that. If we don't really apply life right, we're going to miss the boat. My point is this. Just because we jump into a batting cage doesn't make us a major league player. As people, we tend to go through life and we think that we've done a situation once or twice and then we've got life mastered. And God's like, really? Watch this. And then something happens in life and we're completely baffled. We're not sure how to navigate through it. It's overwhelming. Well, God is saying in Proverbs 3:5, rely on my understanding. Trust in how I'm teaching you to live. If you trust in me, you will be able to do the things of the world, like face major league pitching in the case of this example. But in reality, it means that we can overcome the world and its problems. We can overcome the darkness of Satan when he comes and he attacks our minds and says that we're not worth anything. That when finances get difficult, we don't get scared. Because we trust in God who we know will deliver. He delivers time and time again, and he will continue to deliver. And that's where we put our hope. We're not like the king of Israel who puts it in the world. We put it in God. And if God opens a worldly door for us to walk through, then so be it. But it came from him. So as we wrap up today, I want you to know that the hope lives in the Christian. We have living hope, right? But in Galatians 2:20, it says that Christ lives in us. So if Jesus is the living hope and he lives in us, living hope actually lives inside of us. So as a Christian, not only does this hope live in me so that I can thrive in life, but it lives in me so that I can reach out and touch my neighbor. And I'm praying right now for my neighbor and ways to touch him because I know that he doesn't believe in God. So I know that God has to open his heart. But I'm praying for that to happen because even as God touches his heart, he has to be responsive to it. He has to respond to God's love. And so I pray that he responds in a pleasing way, in a way that he realizes that God does love him, and that there is hope, and that even though he was really hurt, he can have the love from God to press on. As I mentioned, we have that fresh and tender mercy from God every morning. And I want him to experience those things, just like we do here at the church. I want every one of us to experience those. But it is my prayer for the lost that they experience it too, and that they don't turn their back on it. So as the world starts to come in and close in on you and you feel like you're in the trash compactor in Star Wars and you have no hope, remember Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one that will get you out of all situations. Amen. Father Almighty, we thank you so much for being an amazing God. We thank you that it's your steadfast love that provided the living hope that we know to be your son. Thank you so much for the strength and power And guidance of your spirit, Lord. I thank you so much for the love of the saints here and just the church that you're creating, Lord. We're just so honored and thankful to be your bride. And Lord, I do pray that even in the darkest times, we would be reminded of you, that you are our hope. Thank you so much for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.